My fucking God, these bitches straight. Bad for them. Bad for them. Taylor.
And I'm becoming a class traitor so I can be a vampire bride. Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. You know, there's only one thing that comes to my mind when I think of the season of love. And naturally, that's vampires. So this week, we watched 2022's The Invitation, directed by Jessica M. Thompson, starring Natalie Emmanuel and Thomas Doherty. And God, I have never seen a movie more directed by a woman before in my life, and that is a compliment.
It's so fucking funny. The entire time, I was literally thinking to myself, like, yeah, no, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep,
oh,
yep.
This is a woman who knows what women want to see, and she's valid for it.
Exactly. When I watched this movie for the first time, like, my immediate thing was like, oh, I have to tell Taylor about this movie because it's going to make her insane.
And it did.
And it did.
So what was your, any interesting experiences watching this for the first time?
No, honestly, no. This was not a big one. I watched it for the first time over Christmas vacation with Jamie and their partner, Jamie and his partner Shelby. And we just we were looking on Netflix and I was like, oh, The Invitation. I wanted to see that when it was in theaters. Oh, actually, I went to go see this in theaters with Jace. And then when we got there, I had completely misread the release date.
Oh, no.
So it was a week before it actually came out. So we ended up just going to see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies instead.
Oh, which, no.
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is an interesting movie.
I'm so sorry.
Nowhere near as sexy as this. And this was your first time watching this, right, Taylor?
Yeah, I burned some brownies because I was so busy watching this movie that it distracted me. And I was making brownies, and that's my fun story. This movie captivated me so deeply that I absolutely ruined a tray of brownies. So
I can't begin to tell you how hard that checks.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much in the way of trigger warnings. There's some racial undertones in this movie that's about. Oh, and there's horrific slander of Jonathan and Mina Harker. That's the biggest trigger warning I can give for this movie. It's the only terrible thing in this movie. We will get into it.
There is a suicide in the opening scene.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, it does just kind of, happen. So I don't fault you for forgetting it because it's just oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not particularly, graphic or anything. I mean, this is a PG-13 movie. Yeah. So it's not particularly graphic, but yeah.
I do have a funny, a quick funny thing about the fact that this movie is PG-13, because apparently there is an R-rated cut that exists, because the subtitles on Netflix for this movie are from the R-rated cut.
Huh.
So
are we sure the R-rated cut isn't on Netflix? Because they definitely had a fuck in there somewhere when I watched it.
There was one fuck, but there were multiple fucks in the subtitles that were not in the spoken dialogue. So, Netflix, you should probably fix that.
Release the horny cut, Netflix.
Release the horny cut.
Release the cut where we see sucking and fucking.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's the only thing this movie is missing, really, is graphic sucking and fucking. That's it.
Yeah.
So, shall I regale our listeners with the plot?
Please do.
After the death of her mother and having no other known relatives, Evie takes a DNA test and discovers a long-lost cousin she never knew she had. Invited by her newfound family to a lavish wedding in the English countryside, Evie is at first seduced by the sexy aristocratic host. However, she's soon thrust into a nightmare of survival as she uncovers twisted secrets about her family history and the unsettling intentions behind their sinful generosity.
Yeah.
Basically, this movie is if you took Ready or Not, Get Out, and Crimson Peak, and they all just slumped their shit stupid style. This is the result. And it's glorious.
Honestly, it's very shocking to me that people... I mean, that's actually a lie. It's not at all shocking to me that people didn't tend to like this movie.
Well, yeah, because the average person has no taste.
They're cowards and they don't understand what, sexiness is, you know?
Truly.
I've you don't been get jokingly it. Calling, like, our friend group's upcoming Curse of Strahd D&D campaign Dracula Fuck Mansion, but this movie is Dracula Fuck Mansion.
This movie is Dracula Fuck Mansion. Whatever you're picturing when I say the words Dracula Fuck Mansion, it is The Invitation 2022.
I have one issue with this movie.
It's the issue we all have.
No, 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 not the Harkers thing.
Oh, okay.
I have another issue with this movie, other than the Harkers thing, which is egregious and should not have happened.
We will get to it.
He is too hot for me. I get why he is the way he is. He's too sexy. I need him to be grosser. That's just a me thing.
Is he too young for you, Taylor?
He is. That's sad, but true.
He's like, Thomas Doherty is like, you said this to me while you were watching. He's like a little too aware of how hot he is.
Not only that, but I feel like he's also like a little too keyed into what women are into in men.
Yeah. Like, he's too good at it.
Yeah, he's too good at playing into that sort of like fanfic, like... Like, I was just having a conversation with somebody about, like, how, like, so much explicit fanfic that's, like, reader insert stuff is just, like, copy-paste dom dialogue. This feels like copy-paste romance man dialogue, like, especially during the sex scene.
I need you to stop because I literally was just having the same conversation with somebody else yesterday. About the copy-paste, like, dub som. Dub som. Some dumb shit. Like, same conversation, except I'm sure it was, mine was of a sapphic nature and yours was not.
Yeah. But it's like, it's just one
it's
of those
It's true, though.
Because it's so, like, and, like, again, it this is not a slight against the film. I think it makes sense for this character to be intentionally sort of parroting these, like, romantic cliches, because he is intentionally trying to lure her in by being the kind of guy that she would be into.
Yeah.
But also, it's very jarring to hear that, like, very, like, Wattpad-y, like, hot man written by a woman dialogue. Like,
yeah,
spoken out loud. It's very strange.
That being said, if this happened to me, it would turn me heterosexual.
I don't, like, Evie is braver than me. She's a stronger person than I am.
Yeah, no, we need to get this out of the way right now. Evie is a better person than both of us, because we if this happened to either of us, we'd be like, oh, fuck yeah, bite me, dude. Like, listen, I would have walked into that fucking mansion. The maid would have been like, oh, yeah, somebody broke the mirror and they need to replace it. And I was like, oh, okay, so there's vampires here. And my immediate, like, goal from that moment on would be to be as bitten as quickly as possible.
So, I have a question about the logic of this film that I want to propose to you.
I would love to hear it.
Is Lucy supposed to be Lucy from Dracula? Question mark?
I don't think so, because she has a different last name.
Okay.
But, I know there's, like, you could, like, why would Lucy use a fake last name and not a fake first name? Like, why would she just still be Lucy? I think she's just supposed to be a girl. And here's the thing, I don't know if the Harkers are supposed to be the book Harkers, or if it was just, like, the fucking writer going in and being like, tee-hee-hee, let's just name these characters after Jonathan and Mina Harker. And before you say anything about this, please don't dispute me, because it's the only way that I can tolerate what happens with them in this movie.
See, I had sort of a James Bond theory where it's like, oh, whatever couple is, like, playing lookout for him, like, on the property, they call themselves Jonathan and Mina Harker as, like, a bit.
I love that.
That's the only way that, and, like, listen, it has no basis in anything from the movie. I pulled it directly from my anus, but it makes me hate that plot point less, and I need to like this movie, you know?
Yeah, and listen, like, Dracula's a fucking asshole. He would do that.
He would do that. He'd be like, if anybody shows up, you guys should call yourselves Jonathan and Mina Harker. I think that would be really funny.
And, like, they don't know what the fuck he's talking about, but they just do it anyway because they're his thralls or whatever.
That's the truth that I choose to believe, because, like, everything about this movie is so hot and sexy and, like, beautiful that, like, that plot point, like, how dare you slander my mother and father who raised me, Jonathan and Mina Harker?
Also, where's their kid if they're actually Jonathan Mina Harker? Shut up.
I mean, they're old, so maybe.
Shut up. Where's their kid?
That's true. Where's Quincy?
Also,
where's little baby Quincy at?
Yeah. So fuck you. Shut up. There's not Jonathan and Mina.
That's not them. It's just a bit.
They're
anyway.
Dead. They're dead at this point.
Yeah.
They lived a very long, happy life and, like, died simultaneously, and they're fine.
They were in their 20s in the 1890s. Like.
Yeah.
They're not. Anyway. I fucking loved the premise of this movie, again, because of how unabashedly, and like a lot of people use the term fanficky as like an insult. When I say that this movie feels so like Wattpad, fanfic, whatever, I mean that in the highest possible compliment I could give this movie. We need more movies that are just like self-indulgent pornography for women.
Truly. Truly. It's like this and like Jupiter Ascending.
Yes! This sci-fi version of this is just Jupiter Ascending.
I think that'd be a good double feature.
Oh my god.
That'd be the most insane double feature, and I kind of want to do it now.
But it's so true. Like, this and Jupiter Ascending are both, like, such, like, pitch-perfect, like, power fantasies for women, directed by women. I don't know if this movie was written by women, but
It was. The writer's name is Blair Butler, I think.
Oh, slay. But I think Lynn and Lily Wachowski wrote Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
And directed it. So, like, listen, like when women make movies like this, like, they know. They know what
exactly.
We want.
They know exactly what we want to see, and they give it to us.
Can I just say, like, God, it, again, like, if I was in this situation, like, sorry, I don't care. I'm gone.
I'm throwing my communist card in the nearest fireplace. Nope, I am a class traitor now. I will be Dracula's bride and maybe get it on with those hot vampire brides.
Listen, those vampire brides were so fucking each other.
Oh, they absolutely were.
In hell that they were not fucking each other.
My intro for this show was almost, fellas, is it gay to impale each other on a spear and die simultaneously?
They had to go out like a duo. Because they're
the way she like gay. Reaches for her face as they're dying, like, come on. Come on.
Stephanie Corneliuson, who plays Victoria, who's like the bitchy Dracula bride, and I love her.
The cunty Dracula bride with her tits out. I love her so much.
Yes, she's a fucking queen. And
she's a girl boss. She's an icon.
I just needed to shout out the fact that she plays a very similar character on the show Mr. Robot, who's just like, she's just really good at playing like aloof, bitchy women. Like, that's just her niche, and I love it for her.
She's found her niche, she's sticking to it, and we love that.
Although, in Mr. Robot, she is married to, like, a cringe fail, like, husband guy who's, like, a weak ass. Who she has to bully him into, like, tying her to the bed, and he's like, I don't want to do it. which, you know, like, if this character is a variant of that character, like, I'm glad that she got her, like, alpha, like, dark fuck prince husband in this reality.
He's such a dark fuck prince.
I couldn't stop thinking about how fucking, like, he's so dark fuck prince, this guy. Like, this is so, like, fan and Loki.
I was just gonna say, he's what all the straight women think Loki is.
He's so, like, Loki's Dirty Whispers core, like, everything about him.
Not Loki's Dirty Whispers.
I'm never gonna let that era of fandom go. If you were in the Avengers fandom in 2012, like I was, if you were there on the front lines, you remember Loki's Dirty Whispers. I know you do.
This is a sidebar, but I think it's really funny that, like, I am a recent Marvel fan, and you are, like, a part of the old guard, and, like, sometimes you say things to me that just are so completely horrifying that I can't not believe you about them.
Sometimes I have to tell you all about Loki's Dirty Whispers, and you have to be forced to be confronted with the fact that that was like an inescapable part of being a fan of this guy who is like objectively like, again, like a super cringe fail,
just
like,
the loser. Most cringe fail man in the world.
This guy, however, I believe that he tops. I believe that Walter fucking Dracula dude, I believe he tops.
Oh, 100%.
They're not making, like, loser bottom boy into a fandom dark... This guy just is Finn and Loki.
He just is that.
And I love it for him. Like, again, Thomas Doherty knows his niche. Him and Stephanie Corneliuson, like, both of them, like, know their niche, and they're always playing these roles. Good for them. I think that they should do it forever.
No, I 100% agree. They chose the perfect man for this, and like you said, he is, like, a little too good at it. Yeah, I think this man definitely... Can I just say something? I don't know anything about Thomas Doherty's, like, personal life or anything. I think he definitely grew up with sisters, though.
Oh my god, you're so right. Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, not to speculate on this real life man, but I think he definitely grew up with sisters.
He has big grew up with sisters energy. I also want to say, I think it's really funny that, like, Evie is so, like, chill and normal, like, compared to all of the absolute nonsense that is going on around her.
It's so funny.
It's really funny.
Oh, I love the contrast of, like, there's so much of, like, this contrast, I think, in this movie of, like, chill, normal things and just the gothic opulence of everything else. Like, there's a scene that always sticks out to me of that maid cleaning the, like, study or library or whatever. And she's, like, in this huge, opulent room with, like, taxidermy animal heads and all of these, like, ancient volumes and this big oak desk. And she's got her headphones in and she's listening to, like, I don't know what it was, but it's some very modern sounding song.
Yeah, and she's, like, singing it under her breath while she dusts this insane, like, Crimson Peak ass house. It's really funny.
It's so good. It's like that. And then, like, just the, like, the use of technology in this movie feels so funny. Like, whenever Evie is talking to her friend, there's a Renfield in this movie?
Okay, the butler.
That's Renfield?
Okay. I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna say something about the butler. So, the subtitles, even though there were a lot of fucks where there shouldn't have been fucks, the subtitles were referring to him as Field. And I thought it was the funniest shit on earth. I was like, Renfield.
I didn't even realize that. Grace, that is her name, Grace. And I remember I remarked upon that as I was watching, because I was like, Grace, oh, like in Ready or Not. Which, by the way, I do think, this is just my personal opinion, but I do think Natalie and Grace, Ready or Not, should kiss on the mouth and maybe get married.
Oh my god, so fucking true.
I think that should happen. But that's just my own personal opinion.
I think that all, like, final girls...
fucking Renfield! I'm losing my mind!
It's so funny. Also, the fact that he is literally just Stevens from Ready or Not again.
Truly. I think they also kiss on the mouth.
See, that's a ship that I can get into.
Exactly! There's a ship for me and a ship for you. That's so...
Someone needs to draw that fan art for me. If you're one of those artists who draws old man dick on the rag, I need you to draw this for me.
Jade, if you're listening,
I'll pay you money. I'll pay you money to draw the old man dick. Anyway, I hate myself so much.
I do want to say, I don't think that's Jonathan and Mina. I don't think that's Lucy. I do think that's Renfield, though.
I know. I 100% do think that that is actual canon Renfield. I think that is him. And he is played by, I know that you don't watch the show, but he is played by the guy who plays Alfred on Gotham.
Stop.
Which is really funny. Another
guy with a niche.
Butlers. This dude just be playing. Also, he's the son of John Pertwee, who is the third Doctor.
So, oh my god.
There's a little bit of history for you.
While we're talking about side characters in this movie, I just want to, like, really quick talk about Cousin Oliver. Mostly because I truly, from the bottom of my heart, despise that he was one of the barricade boys in Les Mis. And that while we were watching me and Jamie and Shelby for the first time, Jamie was like, I've seen that guy before. Where have I seen him? And I looked it up. I was like, oh, fuck. He was Jolie, which is unfortunately a character that I know about and can tell you his one government assigned personality trait, which is hypochondriac. Yeah. Just a little horrible thing for me watching this movie.
I texted you during the movie and I literally said to you, I think this guy was in Les Mis, and I just, You I think you just texted me back, yeah, but I could feel the sigh on the other end of that. Like, I could feel...
It's terrible. I felt the same way I did while I was watching Hawkeye and had to see What's-His-Nuts Kufarak there the whole time. His name is escaping me right now.
They need to stop being in other things.
Yeah, they need to go back to being in musical theater where I don't have to pay attention to them and be reminded that the 2012 Les Mis movie exists.
Stop being in movies that I watch. God, the nerve of these fucking actors. He, though, was so delightful, actually. And, like, I know that he sucks, but also, like, if I found out that this guy was my cousin, I wouldn't care that he was in on some, like, deep, like, conspiracy, like, Dracula fucking whatever. Like, I'm like, you're my new best friend now, actually. Fun fact.
Froffy is the guy I was talking about earlier. Sorry. No, I agree. He's very, like, he plays awkward and charming very easily.
He's so, like, It's very, like, 90s Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Like, it's, like, that kind of, like, sort of bumbling, awkward, like, upper British crust guy. British-y guy. Yeah. He's very good at it. And he's incredibly charming. Again, if I just randomly found out I was related to this guy, I'd be like, cool, you're my bestie now. He's adorable.
He is. He's very cute.
Natalie Emmanuel is...
so hot.
Yes.
So hot.
That's true.
So fucking hot. Also, I love her wardrobe from, like, the beginning of this movie, the sort of, like, bohemian artist-y look. She's so hot. Spearhanded marriage, ma'am, please.
I love the bohemian artist look. We need to talk about the red dress.
That fucking dress.
The way that she came out in that dress, and I immediately went, Tonster Vampire.
The way she came out in that dress, and I was immediately like, A, I need her. B, I need that dress.
I need her. I need the dress. I need both.
I need the whole package. And it also kind of sucks because, like, later on, like, they had the opportunity for, like, a truly gorgeous wedding dress, and they stick her in, like, the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I thought that dress was okay looking.
I can't. It should have been, like...
I liked the embroidered flowers on it. I thought it was a cute look.
It should have, but it looks too, like, modern. It should have... I feel like it should have been, like very Victorian, very, like, opulent and, like, that kind of thing. Like the red dress. I wanted more of that.
The red dress was so sexy.
It just felt too... It was a nice... It's, like, it's a fine dress, but it's just out of place in the scene that it's in, you know?
Yeah.
It's not what I expect Dracula's bride to be wearing.
It is also very funny knowing Natalie Emmanuel from Game of Thrones, because I'm... Unfortunately, I am a Game of Thrones fan. I'm sorry about it. I also wish I wasn't.
Oh, I watched some of Game of Thrones. I didn't even recognize her.
Yeah, she was...
And we all know why we didn't... I didn't recognize her, because her hair was different.
Yeah. For those uninitiated, Jemmy is very face blind.
Intensely
face blind. Once somebody changes their hair, they might as well be a different person.
I tell this story every time. I didn't recognize Amanda Young for the first 2 minutes of her appearance in Saw 3 because her hair was long and it had been short in Saw 2. And Amanda Young is one of my Blorbos.
Blorbo from your shows. Oh god, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so like, it was very funny seeing her on screen and being like, oh, I good for her that she's getting work.
Yeah, good for her that she's getting work
in this movie. Honestly, I think she might be the best actor in this.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think I feel pretty confident in saying that. Listen, all my love to all the other actors in this movie, they all did very good, but like, she... I think it's a very special, and I've probably talked about this before because it's something that I always notice in movies and TV shows, but like, I really admire an actor who is able to play in genre pieces and deliver just absolutely butt fucking ridiculous dialogue and make it sound like anything that a person would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's doing that very well in this movie. She has to... A lot of insane things happen to this character.
Mm-hmm.
And she's able to kind of go through that, and you buy her as somebody who is like a normal-ass person reacting to all of this crazy stuff.
Yeah, and everyone else is giving sort of a genre performance. Mm-hmm. And she navigates this movie as the one, like, normal person very well.
Her and her friend Grace are both giving very similar, kind of very naturalistic performances. Everybody else is sort of doing these, you know, very, like you said, like, very, like, genre performance kind of vibes.
And it makes sense. Like, it's the kind of performance you'd want in this movie from these characters, but the contrast is very good.
One thing that I will say, too, that I really liked about Thomas Doherty's performance is that he, at first, kind of seems to be leaning more into that, like, naturalistic kind of, like, delivering dialogue, very, like, just like a guy talking. And then the more that you find out about him and the more that the truth of the situation comes to light, the more theatrical he gets.
Yeah. And then he's just going full, like, full Wattpad the scene where he is revealed to be a vampire.
He rules. Like, he's great. He's amazing. I love how he's able to just do these massive leaps from, like, normal, if kind of, like, fancy and stuffy guy to just, like, no, this is literal actual Dracula.
He showed up on set and he knew exactly what role he was there to play, and by fucking God, he did it.
By fucking God, he did that shit.
Men, what is stopping you from doing this?
The thing about this movie, we've said this 100 times this episode, it's so for women, and that is down to, like, the scene where she's, like, having a panic attack and he's, like, comforting her.
Yes.
It's so, like, have you ever read articles, like, where it's saying, like, you know, a lot of romance novels are just women fantasizing about men treating them like people?
Yeah, this is that.
That
this
scene was so that for me. Like, it's the way so, like such a fantasy about what your boyfriend should do when you're having a panic attack.
Like, chastely laying in bed with you.
Yes.
Oh my God.
This is talking to you about enough. Feelings. This is not a slight against the film.
No, not in the slightest. It's great. I want more movies to do this.
I think that men, heterosexual men specifically, have had so much of cinema to disguise what are blatantly just their fantasies as great art and great movies. And I enjoy a lot of those movies. I just think it's women's turn.
Yes, it's our turn. More The Invitation, more Jupiter's Ascending.
And I think that if you want to be a cool, sexy badass who's, like, in a gothic castle fighting Dracula, but also, like, Dracula comforts you after a panic attack ASMR. Like,
and you fuck him.
And then you have, like, mind-blowing, crazy, cool sex with him. I think that that should be a genre of film that is, like, that happens more, actually. Fun fact.
More movies like this.
It's so, like, this feels to me like a Hallmark movie for horror girlies.
Stop. Stop. You're so correct.
That is so what this was for me. Like, I'm a Hallmark movie, you know, I'll watch them occasionally, but they're, like, so for, like, normal people. They're so for, like, office job, 9-to-5 corporate girlies. And I'm just like, no, like, my fantasy is not to go to, like, you know, a small town and be wooed by the handsome lumberjack man. My fantasy is to go to Dracula's fuck mansion. Like, you know?
My fantasy is to go to Dracula's fuck mansion and have him fuck me and also fuck his wives.
There is no amount of my money that I would not pay for the chance to be in just the most insane polyamorous situation with Dracula and two other vampire brides. Like, I know that the movie is like, no, this is bad. And the moral of the film is that this is bad. But also, like, I do want it, though.
But also, I'm bad.
But also, I never claim to be a good person. So,
but also, this would corrupt my soul immediately.
Immediately! Oh my God, if you took, like, a fucking Lilo and Stitch, like, goodness measurement of my soul after this experience, it would be, like, in the negatives.
Yeah, like, I would come out of this absolutely rancid.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, you're going to have to hunt down and kill all of these people after this, because it's like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
She's very Yas and Slay for that.
While we're soaring in the upper echelons, I think we need to bring it down. I think we need to talk about the Harkers.
Must we?
Let's just get it out of the way for the rest of the episode. We should have got it out of the way at the beginning, honestly.
They're not the Harkers. They're a couple of randos who call themselves the Harkers because Dracula thinks it's fucking funny to, like, have their weird pseudonym be the names of the people who tried to kill him and failed. That's what I think. And that's, I think I'm correct for that. Even though it has no canon backing, I don't care.
I mean, listen, them being the Harkers has no canon backing because they were fucking 20 years old in the 1800s. Why would they still be here unless, like, Dracula's randomly keeping them alive for whatever reason? There's nothing. There's no proof that they're actually the Harkers besides the names. Fuck off. Okay, we're done. I just realized, as I said, we should talk about the Harkers, and we already kind of did, and that we're just reiterating what we said.
This is not my beautiful house, this is not my beautiful wife, etc., etc., etc. Nor is it my beautiful, my wife's beautiful husband, Blurbo Jonathan.
Jonathan, my dear friend.
I used to get emails from him all the time. Y'all remember? Yeah, y'all remember Dracula Daily?
I just saw a post, like, yesterday that was like, I miss Dracula Daily. Where is my dear friend Jonathan? How are my beloveds?
Well, according to this movie, they're not doing great.
They are, because those aren't the Harkers, Taylor.
That's true. One thing that was cracking me up about this movie that was so, like, porn for women is, like, the bit where she, like, first comes to the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, gets led up to her room, and it's like, you have a beautiful room with all of these clothes, and you have your own personal ladies' maid. Like, it's so... It's so woman porn.
It is. That room is gorgeous.
It is beautiful. And, like, listen, like, I'm as susceptible as the rest of them, because I saw that room and I was like, would have gotten me.
Yeah, would have gotten me. Again, I would not have come out of this movie the way that Evie does.
She's a stronger person than I am.
I would be fully giggling over the horrors.
One thing that I also loved in this movie that I thought was, like, a fun little detail was this was written and directed by a woman, was the scene where Evie and the two brides are, like, at the spa getting their nails done, and when she's getting her nails done, you know, they do the thing that they do in every vampire movie where, you know, the protagonist, gets, like, a cut somehow.
They do the new moon thing.
Yeah. But also, like, it gets really funny and gay because Victoria, the bitchy, big-titted vampire bride, like, immediately, like, sticks Evie's finger in her mouth. And it's very funny. But it's also this thing of, like, yeah, we've all been there at the nail salon.
Truly. I will
just
say, I
absolutely
really...
getting your fucking finger sliced open at the nail salon. Like, that's a sign that you are a woman.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually really love the sound design in that scene because there's such an emphasis on, like, the sound of the nail clippers and the, like, scraping of the tools against the nail. And just feel like, oh, God, something is going to happen.
The way
what's going to happen.
When it cuts down to her, like, getting her nails cut, it's just, like, really loud snipping noise as she's getting her nails cut. I'm like, oh, they're going to cut her finger.
It's so uncomfortable. I love it.
I also just love Victoria, like, chilling in that big pool and just, like, she didn't need to do any of that.
Yes, she did. For the bit.
For the bit. I love
for
it.
The for the drop.
I also think it's funny that, like, apparently she's been with Dracula for 500 years and Lucy has been there for about 100 years. So, like, she's just so secure in everything that she has that she's like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck around with this lady. Why not?
She's everything I want to be.
I'm just gonna mess with her. This isn't I was impressed. My Letterboxd section, but I did, friend of the pod, Rhea, of the podcast Ether and Ichor, in her review of this movie on Letterboxd, she did say, like, yeah, if I was going to be one of Dracula's brides, I would want to be the bitchy one.
I think she is a Rhea variant, actually. I think this is just Rhea in another universe living her best life.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. That is for sure a Rhea variant. Yeah.
In some other universe, she's married to Dracula and just walking around with her tits out all the time.
As she deserves to be.
Good for her.
Good for
her. Happy for you, Rhea.
I loved Lucy, too. She was adorable.
She's so cute. The actress they chose to play her is, like, so... Like, she would be a good Lucy in Dracula.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's definitely got that, like... Out of touch, rich girl, but also, like, perky and very sweet.
She's like, oh, I'm about to do a horrible deep cut. She's Emily from The Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, she is.
I said so. I just said something that made sense to maybe one of our listeners, two, actually, counting Jamie. So it just made sense to Jamie and to Rhea, and that's it. You're welcome, guys. That's my thing. She's Emily.
But you're right, though, is the thing. I'm correct, and you should say it. I simply love the way that Evie immediately, like, I don't know, something about, like, the way that she interacts with Lucy is really interesting to me, in that there's this vibe of, like, she kind of jokingly says, like, oh, come to New York City sometime, I'll show you around, like, in a sort of very non-committal kind of, you know, thing that you say to somebody when they've said, oh, I've always wanted to visit city where you live. Mm-hmm. And Lucy immediately takes it, like, completely to heart and is like, oh my gosh, you would do that? Oh, that's so nice of you. Like,
that's just what not having a lot of female friends does to a motherfucker.
She's adorable.
Poor Lucy has been hanging out with, like, Victoria for 100 years, and like, Victoria is wonderful and sexy, and but she's also, you know, Miss Ice Queen, so you really get the vibe that Lucy is just like desperate for a friend who is like
nice to her.
Who's nice to her, who is like more on her vibe, and I think that really sort of informs her like motivation in terms of wanting Evie to be a bride too. She's like, she just wants a friend.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, it's really, really, like, sweet. The scene where they have Evie tied up after she sort of realizes, you know, what's happening, and she tries to escape, and they capture her and they tie her up. And, you know, Victoria's kind of, like, making fun of her, you know, saying, like, oh, like, you know, you're just resisting, it's inevitable, like, you might as well just, like, shut up and let it happen, do whatever. And Lucy is, like, actually trying to convince her by saying, like, no, it's actually super great and super fun, like, we're gonna be besties, and it's gonna be great, we're gonna have a great time. I love Lucy so much. She just wants a friend.
She would be the bitch in Ocean's 8 who joined, or Ocean's, is it Ocean's 8 or Ocean's 11?
It's Ocean's 8, yeah.
Ocean's 8, who showed up, she'd be Anne Hathaway in that, just showing up because she wants female friends.
Just joins a heist just because she needs more lady friends. And I do love it for her. And once again, if I was in this scenario, I would make it my mission to be her very best friend.
Exactly, we'd be besties.
And also, I would kiss her on the mouth, but like, that goes
that too. That too.
Everything about this movie is like visually like the sexiest thing that it could be.
That house, every time I see like a wide shot of it, I'm like, I can't tell if this is CGI or not. And if it's not, I feel like I've seen this house somewhere before, but I don't know where.
Is it the Ready or Not house?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think the Ready or Not house. I know that, like, some of the interiors of the Ready or Not house are also some of the interiors in Crimson Peak, which is very funny. The library in Ready or Not is also the like, party room in Crimson Peak.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I know. I remember watching Ready or Not and seeing, like, that wall of bookshelves being, like, I've been here before.
I've been in this house.
The exterior, though, I couldn't find what house they used as the exterior, and I only very briefly searched, but...
When they pull up to the house and Oliver says to Evie that the house is called Carfax Abbey 2, I was like, oh, come on.
Tee-hee-hee, it's the horrors. In Whitby, no less.
Did everyone, yeah, when he was like, oh, like, there's a wedding happening in Whitby, I was like, Whitby, you say? Oh, ho, ho. I know all about what happens in Whitby.
Exactly. Again, if I was here, I would be like, oh, you're taking me to New Carfax Abbey in Whitby. There's vampires there.
It's like,
How can I get bitten as quickly as possible?
I immediately pull up to the house, I slam the door open, and I'm like, what's up, fuckers? Where is Dracula? My neck is so exposed right now.
Me wandering around New Carfax Abbey in like the most low-cut shirt ever. Oh no! My neck is so juicy.
My neck is so exposed. I would only be wearing my hair up away from my face.
I hope no vampires come and bite it. That would be terrible.
Like, listen, like, I do not fault Evie for reacting to things the way that she did. It's just further more reason why they should have picked me instead.
Exactly.
I would have had fun at the horrors.
I would have had so much fun at the horrors, and I would have stayed at the horrors forever.
They're like, oh, here's your coffin that you will sleep in. And I'd be like, yes!
Finally! Yes! Finally!
I've been waiting!
Like, listen, I'm a werewolf girly, but I can get down with some vampires. Vampires are, like, the next best thing.
And it's true.
I can still turn into a wolf as a vampire, so it's fine.
That's... Okay, can we talk... Speaking of animals, I would love to talk about the Shrikes.
That was such
a fucking good-ass detail. I was obsessed with the thing with the Shrikes.
The way that I would have heard about, like, oh, there's Shrikes here, and they're, like, carnivorous birds that impale their prey, which, oh, by the way, I already know.
We've all seen Hannibal.
Exactly.
We know about Shrikes.
That's why the whole thing with Evie happened the way it did, because she's not a Hannibal girly.
Yeah, like, girl, she's a woman who's never seen Hannibal. Shrike.
She's a woman who's never seen Hannibal, and that's why this lifestyle didn't appeal to her.
Yeah.
I would have heard that and just been like, oh my god, the horrors!
I'm ready to have fun at the horrors! God. It's so true, though. Like, the horrors.
The horrors. I'm so ready to have fun at the horrors.
I love the idea of, like, putting big spikes outside of your windows for, like, to ward yourself off against carnivorous birds. Like, oh, this place is so insane. I love
it. It's gothic. It's so gothic.
It's, oh my god. It's so, like, that is so the kind of a bad omen that would, like, be, like, one of the first things that you find out in, like, an actual gothic novel from the 1800s.
That and walking in to see a giant fucking statue of the dragon eating St. George.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, you just gotta be like, well...
Well?
Everybody's excited. Everybody's excited for this wedding.
Well, time to experience the horrors. gotta find my, like, opulent white nightgown and a candelabra. I'm ready.
I love, too, that, like, the castle is so, like, classic gothic whatever, and then they go to this, like, spa, and it's just, like, pretty and pink and relaxing.
Yeah.
It's really good.
There are rose petals in the hot tub.
Yeah. Me if I was a vampire, because sometimes you just need to go to, like, a chill, like, relaxing pink little spa. Like, you know? You can't be dark and gloomy all the time.
We all contain multitudes.
Lucy definitely decorated the spa.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Good for her taking some initiative.
Can I just say also, I loved the detail during the wedding of them having the maid fucking tied up and hanging from the thing to, like, be Evie's first kill as a vampire. I fucking loved that shit. It was so good. And also, like, again, like, such a good way to, like, establish how these vampires are on such, like, a vastly different plane of morality than the rest of the world. Because, like, in their minds, it's like, well, why wouldn't you? It's like having a buffet out.
Yeah, it's like having a really nice bottle of wine.
It wouldn't, like, you know, obviously, like, oh, it might be a little weird, but I think, like, it didn't even occur to any of them that it would be, like, you know,
horrifying
for Evie as it ended up being.
Oh, by the way, since we're about, 10 minutes from the end, this movie is about, like, race, not race stuff, class stuff.
Yeah, it's about race and class and,
race and,
you know,
class and, yeah, but mostly it's about being sexy.
It's about race and class wrapped up in, like, a very sexy little bow, much like many other gothic horror films and
yes.
books, you know?
Yep. Yep, it's race and class. Class especially is a very important component of the gothic narrative.
The way that Renfield treats the maids is, or was, like, super, super interesting to me, because it was so that, like, again, it was very, like, Stevens from Ready or Not, where it's, like, guy who is still technically a part of the household staff, but enjoys just enough privilege to consider himself, like, better than other poor people.
He's definitely like Stevens. Big Stevens energy.
Big Stevens energy.
Yeah. God. No, you're right about that, though, that he is sort of, like, already a class traitor.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's very, like, I forget who said this. Oh, God. I wish, it might have been Vonnegut, but I'm probably wrong. Oh, no, I think it was either Vonnegut or Mark Twain. Somebody. Some fucking author. Some guy. And he said, like, communism will never take hold in America because the average American feels like a temporarily impoverished billionaire rather than an oppressed member of the working class.
Yeah.
And obviously this movie takes place in England and this character is British, but, like, I think the same principle applies.
Yeah, for sure.
Where it's like, you're never going to get this guy to see the benefit of tearing down the system because he's, like, he doesn't understand the position that he's in because he's been so thoroughly duped by the obscenely rich people that he's devoted his life to serving.
Right, and he benefits from that system just enough that it doesn't bother him in the slightest.
I think that's an angle with, like, a Renfield type character that I think more vampire media should explore. I don't think I've ever actually seen that done that way.
Yeah. No, I think it's because most vampire media these days doesn't really deal with class in the way that vampire media used to.
But it should. For more on that, you guys should listen to the Ether and Ichor episode about vampires in class. We're just pimping our friends' podcast now, but, like, you should.
It's a very, very good podcast, and you should listen to it, and they have smarter things to say about it than we do.
Yeah, we're just kind of going hee-hoo, sexy vampire.
We're just kind of, like, goofing here.
But, like, it's true. Like, I think that with, like, a Renfield-ish character like that, I think that viewing them from the perspective of, like, no, this is, like, a class traitor, mm-hmm. is like, a very kind of interesting way to look at the idea of, like, a human servant of a vampire. I really, like, listen, I think the movie's probably going to be fine. I don't have high hopes for it, but, like, the Renfield movie with, what's his name, the little freak, and Nicolas Cage is Dracula.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but he's always playing a little freak. Nicholas Holt. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Nicholas Holt. But you do always play a little freak, so, like, I don't feel too bad about it. But, like, I feel like that movie leans more into, like, oh, this is, like, a toxic relationship, like a friendship or, like, a toxic business arrangement kind of situation.
Yeah, and by the way, if it is not implied in that movie that they fuck nasty, like, what's the point? Anyway.
I think they're leaning more towards, like, he's just sort of a really shitty boss with some, like, romantic subtext in there. But, like,
why I said implied.
I think that it should be implied that they fuck nasty. 100%. Who tops, do you think?
Ooh, good question. I think Dracula is just kind of, like, a top by default.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Renfield in that movie especially is giving me big bottom energy. So.
Pathetic. Pathetic little,
like,
guy.
Like, pathetic wet man.
Oh my god, he's soaking wet.
Oh, he gives me big, like, Jamie might kill me for saying this, he does give me big Roger energy, though.
Oh my god, you're so right. Oh my god, I hate that.
It's terrible, but I do need to say it. Anyway.
But yeah, I think that that movie did it wrong, actually, and that they should lean more in towards, like, Guy realizing that he needs to take up arms and lead the revolution because he's realized he's a class traitor.
True.
I think that would make for a more compelling Renfield movie.
When will we get that Renfield movie?
I'll write it.
Do it.
Anybody?
Anyone want to take this?
Give me money.
Pay me.
Whenever I make jokes like this on the podcast, I always think of this bit from whatever season of RuPaul's Drag Race it was that Will and Bella I was on, where one of the judges said, like, Willem, you're really funny. And he just went, thank you, hire me.
Fuck you, pay me.
I think that's about all that I have to say about this movie.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's all I got too. It's fucking, it's sexy as hell, except for one glaring oversight that we will ignore.
One egregious error.
It's fine. Listen, here's the thing. They had to put that in this movie because otherwise this would be a perfect film.
Yeah, no, 100%.
They had to, like, take some of its power away.
They had to nerf it.
Exactly. They had to nerf it.
Are you ready to read some Letterboxd reviews?
I am so ready, please.
Okay. The first review comes from Robber Baroness on Letterboxd, who, if you're into this kind of genre, you probably know her better by For the Gothic Heroine on Tumblr.
Oh, I love her.
She's lovely. She also
she
has
does
a podcast.
The occasional Marvel slander, but it's okay. I forgive her.
She also has a podcast that's very good. If you like listening to people talk about this kind of a genre, but she said, nobody ever needs to make a sexy Dracula movie again because I just saw The Invitation, parentheses 2022, and I am a teenager discovering vampire movies all over again, and my dreams are being projected onto the screen. I feel like I'm supposed to qualify this with some sort of term like guilty pleasure, but no, this is exactly what gothic romance is supposed to be, and I don't feel like qualifying that at all. 4.5 stars.
Hell yeah.
And she's real and correct for that, actually.
So fucking true.
Yeah. I think my Letterboxd review was like, if I had seen this when I was 14, it would have been my entire personality for the next 6 months. And I stand Absolutely. By that. It would have. I wish that this movie had existed instead of what I actually ended up projecting my entire personality onto for 6 months when I was 13, which is Van Helsing 2004.
We're getting there, listeners.
Unfortunate.
We're getting there.
Unfortunate. Cody says, he's an 8, but he's into blood play and polygamy. 1 star.
Oh, God.
I would say it's a little more than play.
Yeah.
Cool Mega says, a lady at the cinema made a loud moan at one point. That was funny. 2.5 stars. And, like, personally, I think she was correct to do that.
I get it.
I mean, like, if I had not been watching this, like, alone in my house, I would not have, but like I did make some choice noises.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad admitting that.
I did
on the
say
air.
Oh my god a few times.
I went on a few really good face journeys, you know. Allison Turn says, honestly, I would not give a fuck. Thomas Doherty can suck my blood anytime he wants. I really respect the commitment to the horny energy in this one.
I'm sorry, like, this would have turned me heterosexual.
This would have turned you heterosexual. This and the Sweeney Todd revival are the only two things that could possibly turn you away from lesbianism.
It's true. Like, listen, fucking Thomas Doherty Dracula would take me by the hand and lead me out onto that beautiful, like, outdoor ballroom floor, and I would look into his eyes and I'd be like, I'm never gonna look at another woman again. Except it would be a lie, because I would also fuck his brides.
I would not look at another woman except for the two other women that I am now in a polyamorous relationship with you with.
Exactly.
Mike says, finally a horror movie where Ancestry.com is the villain. 3 stars. Ancestry.com is the real villain of this film. We don't
it
talk
really
about
is.
That enough.
Yeah, no, we didn't talk about how that fucking, I forgot what the, like, actual company's name was, but like,
it's some fake ass company that's yeah. clearly supposed to be Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
Josie says, if I could crush up this film and snort it, I would.
Same.
3.5 stars.
Same.
I also kind of wish that I could crush this movie up and snort it.
That would fix me, I think.
Yeah, who needs, like, prescription medication when you can just crush up the concept of this film and snort it? And
then, like, that would fix me. That would fix every problem I have. That would fix every, like, mental issue I have.
Maya says, literally so sorry to women, but I am immediately marrying him. No questions asked. 3 stars.
I'm sorry, women.
I'm sorry. Literally, I sent this picture to Jemmy yesterday, the fucking, like, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, I'm sorry, women thing. That's how I feel watching this movie. Like, I'm sorry, women.
Again, my communist card and my feminism card are going in the fireplace. Sorry, guys.
Turning them in. Turning them in. And finally, Thomas says, simply, vampires in it. 2 stars.
So fucking true. And it
vampires is. In it. I can't do a British accent. I can do a little bit of a British accent when I try. So I'm going to say that I would give this movie, 3.5 stars.
Yeah, I think I gave this 4 stars on Letterboxd, but I think I'm going to give it 3.5 here because, like, I gotta dock that half star for the Harkers. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I gotta dock it. It's, I'm so sorry, but I have to.
I need to stand by my parents in their time of need.
I have to stand by the motherfucking blueprint for my favorite kind of ship.
That, oh my god, that is so fucking true. They, like, really were the original Jemmy Het's blueprint.
They were. Like, they are, they are direct variants of the Ghost Het's, and that is true.
Nobody is doing it like them.
No one. Not a single person.
God.
Although Jonathan is, if Florence was a freak, so.
That's very true.
Anyway.
I would say if you are into vampires, if you want to fuck vampires, you should absolutely watch this movie. And if you don't want to fuck vampires, but you still enjoy sexy vibes, I think you should still watch this movie.
Yeah, this is vibes only cinema.
Yeah. This movie is, 100% like running purely on just like sexy vibes and energies.
It's a great Valentine's Day watch.
Like I said, if you wish that Hallmark movies had more gothic castles and blood drinking, this is the film for you.
This is the movie for you.
I loved it. It was a great time. I'm glad you chose this film.
I am too, mostly because I like to watch you go insane over it. It's fun. Literally, as I was watching it for the first time, I was like, oh, this is something I have to do on the podcast, because if I just tell Taylor about this, she's not going to watch it.
No.
So I have to force her to watch it through the podcast.
Correct. Speaking of forcing you to watch movies that I like through the podcast.
Yes. Next week, we will be watching 1983's The Hunger, which I don't know much about. I just know that it has David Bowie in it and it's about vampires.
David Bowie, Susan Sarandon, and Catherine Deneuve in, like, a bisexual vampire love triangle.
And we love to fucking see it.
I love gay people, and I love The Hunger. I think it's a wonderful movie. I'm gonna say, just right off the bat, trigger warning, this movie really is about vampirism as a metaphor for AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that is
the entire plot of the film. There is no, it's not like you can get around it. So if that is something that is triggering to you, if the AIDS crisis is triggering, skip it. Just skip it. It's
skip
fine.
It, and we'll see you for whatever movie we do after that. I think if we're doing Nope. I don't know.
But if that's not like deeply upsetting to you, then I would say you're gonna have a good time with it.
Yes.
Bisexual vampires.
Bi vampires.
Otherwise known as me.
All right. And until then, you can follow us at FGF Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And if you want to support what we do here, if you enjoy what we are saying, you can give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just do whatever you need to do on your podcast platform of choice to let us know that you enjoy what we did here today. And we will see you next time for 1983's The Hunger. Bye, guys.
Bye.